we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. It's Monday, and it is Passion Week 2025. It's the week that leads up to the greatest victory that mankind has ever experienced, and that is the victory of Jesus over the grave. And so we want to take just a moment to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God on Friday night. We will be having a night of honor prayer meeting that will begin about, it'll begin at 7 p.m. And we're just going to pray. We're going to remember Jesus' death on the cross. But, fortunately, our hindsight has provided us something the disciples didn't have, and that is that we know that when he said he was going to be raised from the dead, he was raised from the dead. And so we are very, very thankful for that. And we just want to honor God. This goes back to Exodus chapter 12, verses 42 and 43, where God says to Moses, hey, remember this night, because it was the night of the Passover deliverance of the Jewish people out of Egypt. He said, remember this night from this point on. Don't forget. So we're gonna gather together to pray and be thankful to God for his sacrifice and for his victory that has meant so much for us. So we want to say thank you today to the folks of Weirich Air, Weirich Air, based in Rockledge, Florida. They've been solving air conditioning problems for 50 years. They also deal with heating. I don't think we're going to need to deal with too much more of that throughout the rest of the year, but they also solve electrical issues. They provide professional sales services as well as repairs. They work in residential settings and light commercial settings as well. One of the things that I know for a fact they do is they provide emergency service when necessary, and they strive to provide you with the best service possible and at an affordable price. They're based in Rockledge, but they travel all throughout Brevard County. They do a lot of work down in Barefoot Bay and all the way up to the north part of the county as well. Their license numbers are RA0066854 and EC1300-2439. They can be reached at 321-632-9538. If you are looking for a competent and Christian owned business, Dennis pastors a church here in Central Florida. He's a blessing to the body of Christ. He's a blessing to the Refresh Radio program and to me. And so we are thankful for the privilege of knowing them for a number of decades now. 321-632-9538. And let's get into the Word. 1 John chapter 4. And we're not going to read too many verses today. I'll read verses 12 through 16. We're looking at the evidence or the exhibit C and D of evidence that we are abiding in Christ. And so let me read 1 John chapter 4, verse number 12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Verse number 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. So verse number 15 is exhibit C, when you're looking for evidence, and it says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. If you go back and listen to last week's programs, you will see that what this passage makes clear is that this is not just a utterance of words that cross our lips, being the definition of confession, but instead this is a confession that is spiritual in nature. So it is a confession of words, but they're words that come from a heart. They come from a heart that's been forgiven, a heart that's been transformed, a spiritual house that has evicted ungodly tenants with ungodly characteristics and has now become a residing place, an abiding place for God. So it says that whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him. When it comes to recognizing inadequate spiritual groups, there are a couple of things that people that, you know, would make you think that they're Christian, but they're falling short of that mark is organizations that either do not recognize the deity of Jesus Christ, or they deny the humanity of Jesus Christ. And so I saw a video clip, just a small portion of one, and it just popped up on my social media feed, and it said, you know, and I don't know who this person was, but it was a person that said, anybody who denies your divinity, and I was like, that's all I needed to hear. It's like, okay, this person doesn't have a clue, because I'm not divine. I'm human. Right now, I am a finite being, or I'm an infinite being in a finite body. But the only thing that dwells in me that is going to cause me to have any sort of goodness or any sort of godly productivity that indicates any sort of semblance to being connected to God is that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Without him, I'm helpless. And I need to make sure that everybody understands that there's nothing good in me except for God, and there's nothing good in you except for God. And so I want my confession of Jesus being the Son of God, I want that to have ample evidence. I want there to be plenty of words. I want there to be plenty of actions. I want there to be an abundance of lifestyle that reminds people of Jesus. And so once you have that confession and that acknowledgement, and it's coming from your spirit, not just from your lips, it says God abides in you. That means that he has taken up residence there, and he's remaining. He doesn't want to go anyplace. So when my wife and I first got married, we managed to live for a month off of gifts that had been given to us at our wedding, but I was struggling to find a job. She had no problem finding a job. She actually had two. I eventually found one, and we had rented an apartment, and we were having this discussion here a few weeks ago about how much the rent was back then, and I think that we concluded that our rent was like $240 a month. And we did not know how we were going to make it. And we were living in that rented apartment, and we got the cheapest one that we could get. And as we were living there, the lease agreement was that we would live there as long as we continued to pay the rent. So it was very important. You know, every month we were like, okay, we got to have this much money set aside for rent. And don't you wish that rent was only $240 a month now? There was no sense of permanence in that residence. And many people live their Christian life as if they're kind of like in an extended stay motel, or, you know, they're at an Airbnb where they're kind of visiting, but they know that they're not really abiding there. There's no sense of remaining presence. Well, I want you to know that God wants us to know that when Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, He comes in to abide with us, and He has no plans of packing up and moving out when things get difficult, when finances get tight, when your body breaks down. There is no, God wants to have a permanent, eternal relationship with you. And we should also desire to have that relationship with Him. And so evidence C is not only that God abides in us, but it has the flip side of the coin that says we abide in Him. So I shared this statement at church a few weeks ago, and that is this, that many people have their spiritual goal of just getting to heaven. And if they make it into heaven by the skin of their teeth, they're happy. You know, for them, the goal is basically, I don't want to go to hell. Hell's a place of misery and suffering, and I don't want to go there, so I really want to go to heaven. But heaven isn't the goal. Heaven is the benefit of the goal. The goal of the believer is Jesus. God is our exceeding great reward. As a believer, I want to be where God is. I want to be where He is, and I don't want to just visit. I don't want to be there on a tourist visa. I want to be a resident. I want to do as much life with God as I possibly can. I want to reach young people so that they can live in the presence of Jesus for as long as they can. And so Jesus is the goal, and we abide in God. One of the things that I have seen and I hear a lot about in society is that couples generally get married because they want to do life together. And as they do life together, something happens, and that's called life. So sometimes careers adjust and change, and physical capabilities adjust and change. And then you have the different seasons of life. So you can go from having children to, you know, those children becoming toddlers, becoming adolescents, becoming teenagers, becoming young adults. And if a relationship is not based upon God, there can be a relational drift that takes place to where the people who started off and said, I'll love you forever. I want to be with you forever. And they begin to drift into different distractions. And that drift begins to take them further and further away from one another. And a lot of times, whenever that drift has become so far that they are sharing the same address, but they're not necessarily sharing life together, if there is a moment of crisis, then there may be this eye-opening thing that says, I don't know you, you don't know me. Why are we still together? And unfortunately, a lot of relationships hit that, and people never ask themselves, what do I have to do to get back on course, on track with what we started on, where the trajectory was one direction and now we're going different directions, and we seem to be getting further and further and further apart. And I want you to know, instead of ending relationships like that, many times what we need to do is to hit the altar and say, God, would you change whatever in me needs to change so we can get back on course? But there's a price tag to that. And the price tag has to do with, I may be the one that needs the course adjustment. And that's not a bad thing. I will tell you that making a course adjustment to get back on track with the one you're supposed to be abiding with and residing with and in this till death do us part relationship, that's not a bad thing. I've mentioned on the radio program a number of times, there's a song that says, when God looks at me, wouldn't change a thing. I find that song to be, or that part of that song, to be extremely dangerous. Because as long as I'm breathing, God is still correcting me. God is still forming me, fashioning me, making me what he wants me to be. So if I ever get to the place where I think I'm perfect and I don't need to change, all I need to do is listen to a radio program I'm doing or listening to a sermon I've preached, and I will find plenty of things that I would do differently, say differently, crutch words that I would take out. So there's still plenty of change. And I'm not just talking about external things like speech or things like that. There are plenty of things in my heart. There's plenty of things that I don't know that I'm glad that God abides with me so that he can deal with every issue in my life. So verse number 16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. So I want to focus on that for just a moment. And we have known and believed the love God has for us. That knowing is very, very important. It means that we know and that we understand that God has a love for us. So I'm looking for something here, which is something I wish I had done better, but there it is. We have known and we have understand God's love for us. Many people in the world live as if they're under the impression that God is just waiting for them to make a mistake so that he can lash into them and remove them from his presence. And that's not true. It's not true on several accounts. First of all, you've already made mistakes. You've already sinned. God wouldn't have to be waiting for a future event. Second, his desire is not to separate people from himself. That's already the reality. He's not looking for that to be a permanent situation. God the Holy Spirit is constantly working in people's hearts and lives so that they would not run from God, but that they would run to God. And the third thing is God is actively working so that we do not stay distanced from him or there's a broken relationship with him. It is not that God has been unfaithful to man. It is man has been unfaithful to God. And the greatest display of love will be celebrated this Friday, when Jesus, the Son of God, went to the cross for your sin, for my sin, for the sin of every person alive now and in the history of mankind. Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So please know that God loves you. Please understand that God loves you. And there's another verb that is attached to this, for we have known and believed the love that God has for us. It's one thing to know something. It's one thing to understand it. It's another thing to believe that. That belief there is having a trust and a confidence that the person who is making this claim is truthful and they're trustworthy, they are reliable. So you can act upon this belief. So what is the belief? What is the knowing? It's the believing that God loves you. And there are a lot of people that the enemy has been very successful in convincing that there's no way that God could love them because they've messed up so bad. If you believe that you have messed up so bad that God couldn't love you, I will just say this. It's a big club. It's a big group. It includes almost all of humanity that has ever lived, that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And he loves us so much that he died for us. Not because we were good, not because we were so gifted, so talented. He loves us in spite of ourselves. A friend of mine, I remember him saying a few years ago that he was in prayer and God said, "You don't believe that I love you." And he said, "No, not really." And it was because of all of the things that he had done. I worked for a person one time. They were my boss, and they said, I've messed up way too much. I've sinned way too much. There's no way that God could forgive me of my sins. They would believe that God could forgive everybody else, but they struggled with the concept that God could forgive them. I want to pull the mask off of that, because what that really says is that I've got a pride issue. that my sin is greater than the blood of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that the blood of Jesus still has the power to wash and to cleanse every sin, remove every stain. I want to challenge you today. Believe and know and understand that God loves for you. And we're going to conclude here in chapter 4, verse number 16, because there's one more evidence, and that is this. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. We live in a hateful world. We live in a world of unfaithfulness. We live in a world of spiritual warfare. We live in a world where people have been hurt, and they're filled with anger and hostility. We live in a world that is filled with unforgiveness, where hurt people hurt other people. And I want to tell you that what 1 John teaches here is that we not only abide in the Word, we not only abide in the anointing that God has for us, we not only abide with God and God in us, but he wants us to abide in his love, his unconditional love. Live in that place. You might feel as if you're not loved. He doesn't say, I want you to feel loved at all times. He says, abide in that love. So every time I go home, I use the same key to get in. Sometimes it's the first time. Sometimes it's the second time when I go to the church. Sometimes I use the church key. Sometimes I use my house key. One of them opens the door and one of them doesn't. But I know which key works in each place. I want you to learn this lesson today, because it'll change your life. If you get up every day and you say, God, I love you with all of my heart, and I'm so glad that you love me. That knowing and understanding that believing that God loves you will cause you to abide in that love. Don't fall out of love. Abide in love. Make the love choice every single day, because every day that you're alive, God is thinking about you. He's loving you. He wants to be in relationship with you for all eternity. Abide in his love, and God will abide in you, and you will abide in him. We'll see you next time right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.